What a great time we had earlier with the Word. And it can only be a great time if the Word is being proclaimed, if truth is going forth. Anytime you get away from truth, get away from God. The reason why is because the Godhead is equated with truth. It's amazing that Jesus and the Father are one, and both of them are truth. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was about to go back to his Father. He told him, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But when the Spirit of truth is come, it's all about truth. So when we take the Word of God, we're taking truth, and we're going to study it and then apply it to our lives. And when we apply it to our lives, we then become well-pleasing unto God. When we consider what we're going to be talking about on this hour, we're going to be talking about remaining true to sound teaching. But we're looking at the attitude that we ought to have when we talk about pertinent subjects, such as marriage, divorce, and remarriage, such as the work of the Spirit, such as the Lord's church and the oneness and the exclusiveness of her, and sound doctrine. Yes, we can be promoters of sound doctrine, and we better be. But we need to make sure that we have the right attitude, because it is the right attitude that's going to go forth in hopes that people can see what we're saying and then be drawn unto Christ. Jesus said in John 12, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. But we want to look at this from the subtitle, under the art of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Friends, just because we are meek doesn't mean that we are doormats. Doesn't mean that we divorce truth. Doesn't mean that we get away from what thus saith the Lord. If anything, we adhere to what thus saith the Lord. That's what makes us meek. We brought out in our last hour in Matthew 11, verse 29, how Jesus said that I am meek and lowly in heart. We're reminded of where that meek and lowliness was located, in his heart. Friends, if we're going to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ, we have to be meek and lowly in heart. But we see that this attitude of meekness is fruit of the Spirit. It's not one of the fruit of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit, just like love and joy and peace and long-suffering. All of them go hand in hand. It's amazing that we see that the fruit of the Spirit, and it goes through the list of those nine articles there, characteristics that the Spirit produces in the life of the individual, and one of them is praios, or meekness. Friends, that attitude is important because this is a manifestation. But I want us to launch this time from James chapter 1. Because we understand that if we're going to have meekness, if we're going to receive what God desires for us to receive, then we have to have the right attitude. Friends, we cannot be promoters of truth and be effective. And that's the key right there. Be effective. We don't want to take the truth and yield this sword and cut people up to the point that they are so cut up that they can't come to Christ. Well, that's a good teaching right there. But here in James chapter 1, starting at verse number 21, as a matter of fact, this is going to be the verse that we're going to be looking at. And it's amazing, James, the brother of Jesus, had this to say by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And let's look at this very closely as we delve even further into the mind of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. The King James Version says superfluity of naughtiness. I kind of like the King James. It has that poetic feel to it. And notice what he says. And take in, receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, notice what is being said here, friends. Because as I was looking at this and pondering this a few weeks ago, it baffled me that in order for an individual to receive with meekness, they got to put away some things. You cannot, listen, friends, you cannot receive the word of God and it be effective in your life if you have not kicked away sin. You got to put it out. See, what happens is that here an individual is submitting themselves to God. And they are saying, I no longer want to rely upon my own wisdom, Proverbs 3, verse number 5. I no longer want to walk according to my own way, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. I want to receive with meekness the right attitude. I want to be brought under control with the lowliness of mind so I can receive what God wants me to have. Here it is, through the word. Through the word. I see why denominationalism goes crazy. I see why people leave the church. I see why people want to engage in sin, because it's not about them being brought under the control of God, but they are seeking to control their own lives. Therefore, we engage in eisegesis. We engage in what I think it says instead of exegesis, instead of what the Holy Spirit says through the apostles, prophets, and writers. Oh, powerful teaching. For James, the brother of Jesus, had this to say. He says, lay apart all filthiness. If it is filthy, James said, get rid of it. Oh, this is very powerful. And the reason why this is powerful, because if the church is going to be effective in getting the gospel out and remaining true to sound doctrine, we cannot couple it, we cannot mix it, we cannot taint it with sin. You got to get rid of it. Whatever it is, you got to get rid of it. And I love what the Hebrews writer there has to say, that you got to put away some things, Hebrews 12. You got to make sure that sin is not in your life. Well, we're all sinners. Don't have that attitude. We are saints that happen to sin every now and then. I'm not a sinner. And the reason why I'm not a sinner is because I don't live in sin. There's a difference. There has always been a separation. Well, Paul says, I'm chief of sinners. But keep in mind that Paul said that I walk after Christ. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul, what did you want to know? I want to know Christ. Therefore, I have to get rid of my pedigree. I had to get rid of those things in which I identified with. I had to get rid of sin in my life so I can receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Wow. And when we do this, God is pleased. But isn't it ironic that Paul, inspired by the same Holy Spirit that James was, took this approach? Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. And now the Corinthian church, those brethren there, well, they were good brethren. Don't get me wrong, but Paul had to rebuke them on many occasions because of their partiality, because of their carnality, because they were desiring to put preachers above one another. He said, no, don't do this. Here we find Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice the attitude that Paul had as it relates to approaching the brethren. Now, brethren, I really believe that if we can get this down, that when we are talking to those who are in the world, yea, the church especially, we might get along better. Facebook might be more enjoyable. Sometimes Facebook is not enjoyable. I understand we have to earnestly contend for the faith, but in that earnestly contending for the faith, we need to make sure that our language beholds sound doctrine. We need to make sure that Colossians 4, verse number 6, that our words are with grace, seasoned with salt. We have to make sure that we have the mind of Christ. Paul, as he was approaching the brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He stood for sound doctrine, but make no mistake about it, this man was a man's man. This man was robust. This man was solid and sure. Notice verse 1. Now, I, Paul myself, beg you by the what? Meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, notice, friends. I love this about Paul, because Paul uses this same attitude toward Philemon when it came to taking in Onesimus. You remember, Onesimus the slave had taken some things and ran away from Philemon. And the next thing you know, we find Onesimus obeying the gospel, learning from Paul. And Paul sends him back with a letter, and he says, I, as an apostle, could command you to do this, but I want you to take him back by way of the action of love, the attitude. And what Paul is saying here, I have the authority to make you do this, but I want you to do this because you love Onesimus. You know, that works at home. I ain't got time to be dealing with right there because that ain't part of my subject. But just because we have the authority don't mean that we have to use it to beat folk up with it. Paul is saying here, I'm approaching you with the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beg you, now hold on, Paul, you're an apostle. You're talking to the church. You have authority. And you're begging, you know what? God begs us. Jesus said, come, come. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. God begs his people to come back, turn, turn. Why? I don't want you to be destroyed. It's amazing that the God of heaven that created all things is begging us to come home. That's amazing to me. Here is the one that created the universe and all of the galaxies and all of the angelic hosts and everything else that we see and can't see. And he says, can you please turn around and do right? Wow. Can we just stop for a second and ponder that? Shouldn't that be our attitude? Even with sound doctrine. Notice what he says. I beg you, verse 2. That I may not be bold when I am present with you, with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul, what are you saying? This could become a battle of physicality, but it's not. It's a spiritual battle, which means that as the people of God, as we stand strong on sound doctrine, we are not trying to hurt people with guns and knives and things of that nature and with harsh words. If anything, we want to use the word of God and persuade men that they need to turn from their sin. And you cannot receive the word of God effectively the way that God desires for you to receive it if you are toying around with filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Friends, this is what makes evangelism so powerful, that when people can see who even don't even know the word of God, but they have an idea of right and wrong, when they can see it within you and say, that guy's different. One thing we teach our kids at home, this boy tell you, we ain't going to play church. We going to do it at home and where? And everywhere. We don't play church. We ain't going to live one way with the brethren and get home and honky tonk. Y'all get that point? We're not going to live one way with the brethren and at home browbeat one another. We're not going to live one way with the brethren and then get home. Y'all get the point that I'm trying to make. So we have to make sure that our audio and video are together. You remember those old karate movies? You want to fight? Fight me. Y'all remember those, right? The movies were crazy. Come over there. That's what happened when your audio and your video don't match. People say, okay, I hear you saying Christianity, but your video is showing something different. And James is saying, don't do that. But let's make this point. Without meekness, one cannot help those who are outside or those who are not doing God's will to come to full completion or obedience to the will of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I love this about Paul. And the more that I studied this and looked at this, Brother Creighton, the more I understood, at least I think I do, that Paul is telling Timothy, hey, son, you're an example to the believers. You're an example to those who are on the outside. People are going to be looking at your life. They're going to be listening to your doctrine. So make sure that you watch your life and your doctrine closely, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. But even when you're dealing with people and you are in argumentation with them, it's okay to be in argumentation. It's okay to reason. It's okay to debate. Friends, we must do that at times. The word of God in and of itself is going to bring conflict. That's just the way it is. Anytime a man is preaching or teaching or discussing the word of God, you're going to find people who are in opposition of it. We must stay sound and remain on sound doctrine. We don't fold. We'll get to that in a minute. But notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Friend, this is all Bible. The right attitude, meekness, is not weakness. Notice, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. He's not out there looking for a fight. But be gentle unto all men. Here it is, skilled to teach. Your version may say apt, but literally he's skilled. He knows how to yield and wield the word of God. Here it is, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Hold on. My attitude of being brought under control, Brother Todd, being low on the ground, not rising far, not being arrogant, can even help someone who opposed themselves. Perhaps God will say, or give them time rather, to come to themselves? Yes. It's amazing that 1 Peter 3 and verse 4 is the same idea, that a wife who has a meek and quiet spirit can win her husband who may not be a Christian. Why? Because they're demonstrating the word of God in their lives? Yes. Shouldn't we be teaching our daughters, watch out there now, to be meek and quiet? Oh, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Oh, I ain't going on there. Oh. We gotta be careful. We gotta be careful because Jesus, even when he was on the cross, we see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, he did not say anything. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. He had the right attitude, but Jesus was a man's man. And we'll see this here in a second. Notice verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him to do his will. Friends, does that sound like weakness to you? Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 12, and let's go ahead and illustrate this even more. We just quoted it earlier, but now I want us to read it. In the book of Numbers chapter 12, notice what your Bible says in verse number 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, this is interesting that this is said right here, brethren, because I want us to take our Bibles back to Exodus 32, verses 19 through 29. We don't have time to read all of this, even though I would love to. But here's the idea. Here you find God bringing his people out of Egyptian bondage with a strong hand. He leads the people of God out of that Egyptian bondage. The next thing you know, we find Moses, and he goes up to Mount Horeb where God is, and God writes on the tablets of stone. Y'all remember that? And then it's amazing that as he writes on the tablets of stone, you'll see in there that he wrote on both sides. But here's the point. Here we find God and Moses talking on Mount Horeb. The next thing you know, we find Aaron and the children of Israel there at the bottom of the mountain. And we find that the people of God are telling Aaron, hey, what happened to Moses? What's taking him so long? God tells Moses, those people down there have corrupted themselves. They have formed this golden calf. Remember, Aaron told them, take out your nose rings and your earrings, and we're going to make you a god, the god that brought you out of Egypt. Isn't that crazy? Here they had just been brought out of Egyptian bondage, and the next thing you know, we find them building this golden calf. God tells Moses, you get down there, those folk have lost their minds. Moses goes down there, and the next thing you know, we find Moses, and he's confronting Aaron. Hold on. Moses was meek. But we find Moses confronting Aaron. Notice, just for time's sake, I want us to look at verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Now, friends, that's the key to this text. Why did Moses respond the way that he did? Because of sin. Context is very important here. When an individual is committing sin and they're bringing degradation and bringing reproach and embarrassment upon the church, it requires different measures. We see this in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, when Jesus was sitting over there and he was looking at the money changers and he's making this cord and this whip, and he's sitting there, I bet he's just thinking about how he's going to deal with them. He makes this cord, tap, tap, and he gets rid of the tables. Hold on, Jesus. You're meek. What you doing? Throwing over tables and whipping people with cords because they have made God's house a den of thieves. Sin had taken involved here. Sin was going on. And even in this particular text, we see sin going on. Notice, drop down to verse number 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let them come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword side by side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother. Hold on, Moses, you're meek. What you doing making a command like this? Even God's men who are meek sometimes have to come across if they are coming across too strong. Why? Because sin is involved. We're going to get to right where we need to be in a minute. Verse 28. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sins. And Moses returned unto the Lord. All this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sins. Notice this meek man. I love this about this meek man. This same meek man went over there and he corrected Aaron. He even made the children of Israel, after he took their golden calf, he grinded it up into a powder, put it into the water, made them drink that water. You think that that was weak? Friends, there's nothing weak about that. And this same strong man of God went to the Lord on behalf of these people. You think that was weak? There's nothing weak about this. There's nothing weak about you praying for your enemy. Amen. Someone transgress against you, do you wrong, do you harm, does your family harm? There's nothing weak about praying for them and forgiving them and saying, I love you anyway. There's nothing weak about that. That's meekness. There's nothing weak about a wife telling her husband, I forgive you, or a husband telling his wife, I forgive you, or a son telling their father, Father, I'm sorry. No problem. I forgive you. There's nothing weak about forgiveness. But there's nothing weak about standing on sound doctrine either. As a matter of fact, we need more soldiers that's going to stand for sound doctrine. Y'all give me a couple minutes. What time am I supposed to be finished? I'll just keep preaching. Yeah. I guess we'll just pick up on the next one. Three quick points. Number one, we need to be meek when it comes to exclusive gospel preaching. Not weak. We need men that's going to stand in the pulpit and quote, thus saith the Lord. People don't assemble to hear your commentary. They don't assemble to hear what you think about a passage. They assemble to hear what thus saith the Lord. Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1, preach those things that befit sound doctrine. It takes a strong man of God. It takes a strong woman of God if she's going to be teaching other ladies to stand on what thus saith the Lord. Healthy teaching. Teaching that is not only going to save the soul, but here it is, but set apart the behavior of the individual that just got saved. It takes a lot of strength to do that. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Paul told Timothy, till I come, give attention to the reading, to the exhortation, to the doctrine. Number two, we need to be exclusive in our gospel preaching. Jesus said in John 4, verse 23 and 24, that if a man is going to worship God, he needs to worship him in spirit and in truth. Friends, make no mistake about this. You know how much humility it takes to worship God correctly? We discuss this with people all the time in the religious world. When they bring in all of these innovations into their religious area, and we say, well, where does the Bible say that you can do the things that you're doing? Let's be specific. Here, we see that the Bible teaches us that we are to remember the Lord's death every first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7. Friends, we got to stay with sound doctrine. We're not ashamed of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? It is that gospel. Friends, think about this. It is that gospel. It is that cross. It is that suffering that caused Jesus to go to that cross for our sins, not his. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. We can't be ashamed of that. And it takes strength. It takes meekness to tell people the truth. Number three, the exclusive gospel involves purposeful fellowship. I don't know why we don't want to fellowship with one another. This building ought to be filled with Christians. It's amazing. I know I'm going to get on you. Just go with me here. But we go to these ball games, these soccer practices and basketball. Y'all know what I'm saying. And it seems like the people are everywhere. They bring their cots and their chairs and their lounge, and they got their little old beverages. And it seems like people are everywhere. But when it's time to get fed the word of God, we just can't find them. We got empty chairs. But I know one place that ain't going to be empty. That's hell. And you're going to be kicking no ball down there. Ain't going to be shooting no hoops. That ain't happening there. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth because people didn't want to be strong. Meekness is not weakness. We got to remain firm and remain true on sound doctrine. Why? Because that's what's going to help us to be more like Christ. That's what we're going to talk about the next hour. We're going to talk about the man Christ Jesus, and we're going to bring it all together. Is that okay? So this is just part two. I know it seemed like it's fragmented. Hopefully it doesn't. But it's designed that we can get a flow. And we're going to end with the apex, Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Consider the gospel. I know we're going to offer it again in a little bit, but consider the gospel. Are we going to have a song right now? No. We're going to take a 5-minute break. Consider yourself dismissed.